Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
In the Dr. Seuss classic, Oh, the Places You'll Go. Anybody ever read the book, seen the book? Okay, so some of you know. There's a story about someone and all the places that life will take them. The good, the not so good, the bad, the ugly, the everything in between. But the most important thing about the book, in my humble opinion, I am not a literary analyst, but in my humble opinion, is the point that is made that you get to decide where you go. That you get to choose where you will go. Now, I want to say before we go any further, you cannot choose what happens when you get there. We've all been in places in our life that we didn't want to be because the circumstances turned out to be different than what we hoped they would be. But we can control where we go and how we handle the things that happen along the path. And that's exactly what this book is doing. Matter of fact, the first page of the book says this. It says, congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. And then on page two, it ends page two by saying, and you are the guy or gal. Okay, Dr. Seuss lived in a different time. Okay. And you are the guy, you are the person who'll decide where to go. And that's kind of been on my heart the past few weeks, thinking about today and thinking about the reality that we can always prepare for good times, but it doesn't mean we're always going to get it. And we always, always, always have a choice on where we should go. So today we're going to look at an old passage in Numbers. We're going to be in Numbers chapter 13. And what we're going to look at is we're going to look at the fact that these people have now been set free of their captivity. They have escaped Egypt. God has promised them a land with milk and honey, greater than they could ever imagine. And they're so, so close to it. Imagine being from here to maybe Atlanta, maybe even a little bit closer to something perfect. And they have a decision to make. And I hope today on this Charge Conference Sunday, as we evaluate this year and look forward to next year, I hope we can find ourselves in this story, in our own personal walks with Christ, but also as a church body. So if you will, please join me in Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to start in verse 25. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the Israelites in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back with them word to them and to the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Yet the people who live in the land are strong, and the towns are fortified and very large. Besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the land of the Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Morites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live by the sea and along the Jordan. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Then the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought to the Israelites an unfavorable report of the land, and they had spied out, saying, "The land that we have gone through as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants and all the people. And we saw it in it our great size. There we saw the Nephilim, the Anakites come from the Nephilim. And to ourselves we seem like grasshoppers. And so we seemed to them." This is the word of God given for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart gathered here, Lord, may it all be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So much like the character in that silly little book, the people of Israel, the chosen people of God, they have a decision to make about where they will go next. We see evidence of where they could go. They could go to the promised land. They could go to the land of milk and honey and experience all God has promised them. Or, like we will later see in chapter 14, they suggest maybe we just get a new leader and we go on back to Egypt. You ever wanted to go back where you came from? Yeah, whether we want to admit it or not, we have. Or, like what will happen, they can spend their time just wandering through the wilderness until an entire generation dies off. And while we may not use those same phrases, we find ourselves, our stories, the story of our church, we find our place in the story today. We could go on to the promised land and experience what we've often been told is the abundant life that Jesus promised. He said he came to give life, but life abundant. He doesn't want us just to get by. He wants us to live into his abundance. We could return to the old ways and live into the captivity of the things that used to bind us. Or where I feel like I find myself most of the time, we could wander around trying just to get by in the wilderness. You ever looked at your calendar and figured, if I could just get through this week? This week, my calendar is miserable. I mean, it is scary to look at. And I thought, man, after charge conference, I'm going to take a break. But we're given two different scenarios here. The first one we're given is from the 10 spies, the unfavorable report, what we would call the majority report. That's the first one we get. And there's some reasons that they do not go to the promised land. The first reason, for those of you that take notes, is fear. They are afraid. These are some of the things that we hear the fear in their voice when they said, "The people who live there are strong." They did not care how big their God was. They only cared how big their enemy was. And really what we hear is they only thought these things. These were not real things. They didn't stand face to face with this enemy. They saw them. They were overcome with fear, and it took over their thoughts. The towns are fortified and very large. But there's other tribes there. We'll be outnumbered. They're full of fear. The second thing is they're full of doubt. They're full of doubt. Verse 31 says, "We're not able to go up against these people. They are stronger than us." They go on to describe what they felt like. Not what they were, but what they felt like. They said they felt like grasshoppers to these people. That's how big they were. And the last thing that kept them out was uncertainty. They were uncertain that God would do what God had promised to do. Matter of fact, in chapter 14, we see clearly, they say, in verse 3, "Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become booty. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us choose a captain and go back to Egypt." They've been saved and they want to go back because they no longer are certain that the God that made a way when there was no way can do it again. And then we see the church politics the Minority Report. Anytime you go to an annual conference of the Methodist Church or any church denomination, you'll have a majority report, then you'll have a report the minority wants read. Basically, a nice way of saying we disagree with them, and here's our report explaining why. So Caleb and Joshua have a minority report, and they want to go to the promised land because they have faith. Faith. Matter of fact, Caleb says clearly, let us go at once and occupy it. Not, hey, let us work out for about 40 days. Let us practice our shooting. Oh, let's get real good at playing hide and seek so they can't find us. He says, let's go now and take this land. We are well able to overcome it. Later in chapter 14, he will remind the people not to rebel against God because he has faith that the Lord will provide. The second reason they want to go to the promised land is because they trust that God will be faithful to what he has said he will do. In chapter 14, again, we see these words. It says, Joshua and Caleb, who were among those who spied on land, tore their clothes. That was a sign of lament, a sign of anguish, a sign of repentance. And said to the congregation of all the Israelites, the land we went through as spies is exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of this land. For they are no more, I love this line, for they are no more than bread to us. Joshua and Caleb are going to eat. Some of my younger people that play sports, you know what I'm talking about. They're going to devour these people who stand in their Lord's way because they trust him. The third thing is they are certain. There is certainty in their hearts and in their minds that whatever happens, the Lord will make a way. So where would you find yourself in the story today? Where would we find ourselves in this story today as individuals? Where are we in this story? As a gathered body of Christ, entering into a new charge conference year, where would we find ourselves? Would we side with the majority, captured by fear and doubt and uncertainty? Or would we be in the minority report that full of faith and trust and certainty that God will provide? My experience in my time in churches, both as a layperson and as the pastor here of this church, is we spend the majority of our time in the majority report. At least I do. We spend the majority of our time wandering around, possibly even heading back to Egypt because it is comfortable. Because going out into the unknown is scary. But if you don't hear anything else today, I want you to hear this. Our God is a God of more. Our God is a God of more. But when we say we're going to accomplish more, we're going to go deeper, we're going to do more, we're going to experience more, we're going to pray more, we're going to worship more, we're going to study more, we get that now we have to decide between faith and fear. Because more brings unknowns. More can be terrifying because we don't know how the outcome will come. But more can also be exciting because when we experience the moreness of God, we get to experience God's blessing over and over again. And I don't know about you, but I would much rather step out in faith and experience the goodness of God than I would to hold back in fear and just get by. So today, as we move forward, that's kind of my word, is more. Because I do believe there's so much more in store for each and every person gathered here, more for your personal walk with Jesus. I don't think anybody in here, and this is not a, it is a judgment, actually. I don't think any of you are at Z. And I know that because he has you sitting here today. You have not reached perfection. You have not reached the point where you no longer need God in your life. One day, as the old church hymn says, when we all get to heaven, we will be in that place. But until then, he's got us somewhere on the path wanting us to experience more. I recognize for us to achieve more, we've got to be willing to go off into the unknown. And when you go off into the unknown, one of two things happens. You either feel like a grasshopper or you go out looking for bread. My prayer is that we will be the type of people that go out looking for bread, no matter how big the giants we may face in life are. I also realize that if we're going to be honest with each other and if we're going to experience more as a congregation, we cannot experience more of God's grace, His love, His blessing, His mercy without us going deeper ourselves Monday through Saturday. We were in conference this week for a couple days, and that was one thing that Bishop Holston talked about. He talked about Monday through Saturday, you spend more time with Jesus than you do on that hour on Sunday morning. That when we gather here in this place to worship, it ought to be a celebration of all we've experienced Monday through Saturday. But what happens is so many times we do nothing on Monday through Saturday and want to know why we're still in the same place on Sunday. So if we're going to experience more, it's going to have to be a deeper walk each and every day. So how do we do that? Well, I got good news and I got bad news for you. The good news is I have some suggestions in how I'm going to try to do it in my life. The bad news is there's no formula I can give you to make this easy. But these are some of the things I think might help us experiencing more of God's favor, of God's blessing. The first one is our membership vows. What if we devoted ourselves to more prayer? I'm not sure if y'all fully realize, you may not even believe, but there's a handful of people here who fully believe that all the blessings we've experienced this year are because of the time spent in prayer. And they believe that because they were in here with hands lifted, tears falling, begging God to do things we did not think possible. And he's done every single one of them. I'll show you that next week in your updated report. He's done every single goal that we set, he has met. But what if our presence in worship, what if we were more? And that's why today we started that countdown with some scripture. What if we actually took the 5 minutes before worship and we prepared for worship? We said, let's go deeper. I want more today than just to see my cousin that I saw last week. I want more today than to figure out where I'm going to lunch at 10:59. I want more today. I took the time to get up this morning, and I want God to do something special in my life today. Well, to do that, we got to prepare more. We got to spend time in prayer. We got to spend time. We got to just sit there and smile at the noise of the kids. And sometimes we just got to ignore it and we just got to focus in. People will understand that you didn't get up and talk to them. You can get up and talk to them after the benediction. Somebody says, well, such and such, old Christopher didn't talk to me today. No, he was spending time with Jesus because he was trying to get his life changed. Hopefully that's the kind of more we can experience. More of our gifts, our time, our treasure, and our talents, just give them to God. More of our service, do more for other people. Just do something for somebody that can't do anything for you. If you want to experience the moreness of God, you got to live like God, and he just does things for people. How about our witness? How sad would it be if I got to the promised land and I turned around and none of y'all were with me? That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? But what if when I get to the promised land, I'm dragging, come with me. This is all improvising. Grab him. And when I get there, because I'm going there, I picked up somebody and took them with me. That's what being a witness for Jesus means. It means I know a better way, and I'm taking you with me. And because I took her with me, she grabbed him. Does that make sense? That's how we live our lives. Go sit down. I got to get these people to lunch. This is what happens when you don't preach for 3 weeks. You try to get it all back at one time. Plus, I felt like it had to be really good today because she said she didn't want me to ever preach again last week. The second way that I think we can experience more are these Methodist rules. Did you know there used to be rules? There still are, but there were rules you had to follow to be a Methodist. This is what they were. We did a Bible study on a little green book. It was called Three Simple Rules. I don't know if y'all remember that or not. The first one is just do good. Just be a good person. Do good things for people. Help people. Love people. The second one is do no harm. Now that one's really hard. Because there are times where I think it's justified when somebody cuts you off, you ought to want them. But that's not how we're called to live. So we got to do no harm. And not most of us don't go up and just start punching people. But we do harm with our words and our thoughts and the way that we treat them. The way that we overlook them because they're different than us. The third in modern term is to stay in love with God. Put that third one up there for me real quick, even though I'm not done with the second one. In our mission statement, we talk about three things. We talk about God's grace, right? Have you experienced the goodness of God because of His grace? Do you know how you get to do good for other people? Because of God's grace. Do you know the only thing that can help you do no harm to people? The Holy Spirit guiding your life. Staying in love with God. Isn't that what it means to pursue Jesus? I promise you this, if you're dating somebody or if you've ever dated somebody, when you were pursuing them, you were desperately trying to get them to fall deeper in love with you. Pursuing Jesus is the opposite. He already loves you, and you're just trying to catch more of it. This week we were at a conference, and can I just be very honest with you for just 2 more minutes? We probably had no business being there. We were the smallest church invited. We were the only church without a staff invited. And a little bit of what they were talking about was over our heads. But do you know why we got invited? Had nothing to do with me. Our district superintendent looked at what y'all have done in these reports that we send in, and she sees more in you than you see in yourself. And she said, I think y'all can benefit from this. I don't care if you don't check this box or that box. I don't care if you're not this big or you don't do this or you don't have this. I see more in you than you see in yourselves. And I think she's right. I think there's more out there for those of us who call this our church home. That silly little book goes through the ups and downs of life. And they go to places they want to be and they enjoy that, and places they don't want to be and they don't enjoy that. But then the book comes to an end with this challenge. It's really an encouragement, but I see it as a challenge. It says, today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So get on your way. And that is my prayer for all of us today, not only as individuals, but as a body of Christ entering into a new year together. Our God is waiting. Our promised land is waiting. The abundant life that Jesus promised is waiting. So don't you think we should get on our way? Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.